Welcome, everybody. This is Jason Bruno, and you're tuned in to the Fitz Group National Conference Call. This call is held every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. So I guess you've already figured out what time that would be in your end of the country. But we do this call every Wednesday with the intent and the hope that a nugget or two can be taken out of this and implemented into your daily working lives, or maybe even your personal life. And so what we have today geared up, Fitz is out of town today, speaking in Kentucky for one of the other NAA agencies who asked him to come in and share with their team how our team is kicking so much butt. And Fitz loves going to do those talks. So today we have a special guest host in Paul Roberts, and the topic for today, and I'm pretty juiced up about it, is expecting yes. How to get a yes and expect it, having that mindset. We had a great sales meeting yesterday here in Dallas, and I think that was pretty much the theme, was expecting yes, and we had some great energy come out of that. Before I hand it over to Paul, I just want to make one quick announcement, and that is that we're having the last opportunity meeting for the year this Thursday, so that's tomorrow. It's going to be at 7 p.m. Central Time. And I would just encourage you to get somebody on this call, or if you're local, have somebody at the Dallas meeting. Give somebody hope for Christmas. Let them view this opportunity and go into Christmas and the new year with some rejuvenated hope that 07 is going to be their year, just like 07 is going to be your year and my year. Share that with somebody. There is somebody that you know right now who may not have the cash for Christmas and is going to wind up giving love again, and they're just sick and tired of doing that. But you'll never know if you don't ask someone if they'd be interested in looking at the opportunity. So if you have anybody that's, you know, around the country that you'd want to have look at our webinar, we're doing this thing on the internet. It's live here in the Dallas office, but we're also doing simultaneously over the internet, and all they have to do is be in front of their computer. Send me an email letting me know who they are and what their email address is, and I'll give them the info about logging on to that webinar. My email address is bruno@thefitzgrouponline.com. bruno@thefitzgrouponline.com. Don't hold on to this opportunity just for yourself. And don't be a secret agent. Be proud of what you do and the families that you're helping by going out and providing mortgage protection. I promise you, somebody out there is praying right now, wondering how they're going to take care of Christmas. And we're not going to be able to help them with this Christmas, but you're sure going to be able to provide them with a Christmas next year that they probably have never even dreamed of. Paul?
Beautiful, buddy. I love it.
I'm pretty excited today.
And you should be, man. I sound good right now, right?
You sound awesome.
Beautiful. Okay, well, let's get this party started. I can't say more than what he just said there. I personally believe that Fitz is the best person with all of NAA, and I'm going to have to put him above the owners of talking about this opportunity. And if you get people to that Thursday meeting, I promise you they will produce. Patrick Martin, who went to the opportunity meeting, what was it, 3 weeks ago now, Bruno?
Yes, sir.
3 weeks ago, he went to an opportunity meeting. Last week, he wrote 14,000. This coming week, he wrote 12,000. So the dude's written $26,000 in 2 weeks, and he's just brand new to the business, and he's that fired up. So I promise you, you get people in front of Fitz, you're going to have some huge, huge success. So.
And, Paul, real quick, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this.
No.
Don't fish out of the small pond of licensed agents.
Oh, yes.
Okay? Don't limit yourself to the small pond of licensed agents. Majority of the people that you know right now don't even have a license yet that need an opportunity like we have.
Yeah.
We have the way of getting them licensed. I don't know how to get people licensed in every state, but Able Incorporated with their exam simulator, they know how to get someone licensed in every state in this country. So
yeah.
don't go into this with the mindset you've got to have licensed people. No, we need people who are wanting an opportunity. We'll handle the rest.
Beautiful. Patrick Martin, perfect example.
absolutely. Got his license on a Monday, wrote $14,000 starting on that same Wednesday. Jeez.
We're going to have him on next year this time as an income earner. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Today's call.
Without a doubt.
Go ahead.
Without a doubt.
All right. Let me. I do want to recognize the HIF producers real quick. The Home Certain, Income Certain, Foresters. These are the folks that are right in the correct business and are getting paid correctly. So I do need to recognize those people. I'm going to go to the top 10, and I'm going to start with number 10, who's actually myself, Paul Roberts, $6,298.62. Randy Gratz at $6,600. We have $6,672.02. Daryl Harrison at $7,057.44. Caleb, oh my gosh, I'm going to butcher his last name, so we're going to call you Caleb, buddy. $7,359.60. Jeremy Patton at $8,643.18. All right, now we're in the top four right now. Brandon Justice, $10,700. Stephanie, someone has their, needs to press star six. I got a lot of guests on the call today, but we can hear you coughing and everything. Stephanie Roy at $10,751.52. Michael Owens at $11,082.72. And Vern Geyer at $14,672.18, number one. All right. Today I want to talk about expecting yes, and I also want to talk to three people that are on this call today. The reason they're on this call is because they've all earned over $100,000. They're all going to get their income rings this year. They were called last Monday by Andy Albright's office to say, hey, what is your ring size? And I remember that personally. It was an exciting day for Tamara and myself. We went up to Target. We were happy because we were getting this income ring. And literally that whole day was a complete blur because we were just so excited that we had done something. We put all our faith into NAA, and we made things happen. Anybody that's on this call right now that's pressing all their buttons that's on the host code, you're messing up the thing, so quit pressing star 5. I can tell you how many people are on the call. So it was just an incredible day just to feel it. And I want to hear from these three, and then I'm going to get into expecting yes. We talked about it in a sales meeting yesterday. And, guys, if you're within a flight distance of Mr. Owens Skyped me just now. If you're within a flight distance of DFW, I recommend you come into a sales meeting. If you're a part of this organization, if you're a part of the FITS group, if you're part of my organization personally, I recommend coming and just seeing the people stand up and talk about what they're doing. I don't know about, you know, Jeremy and Michael wasn't there. Vern was there and Bruno was there. Just to see Patrick Martin get up and talk about what he did yesterday, man, if that doesn't touch you, I don't know what will. So I recommend you getting in and seeing that. And I'm going to get this thing kicked off with we call him Uncle Vern Geyer. And Vern, you have now done something what most don't. What is the percentage? Is it 2%, Jeremy, earn over $100,000 in 1 year?
Yeah, the average exact statistic is anywhere between 2 and 3%.
2 and 3% of Americans earn over $100,000 a year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Cool. And here's Uncle Vern, and I'm gonna ask you, Vern. I see your computer, I see your screensaver, I see the picture of your wife and your children, but these people don't that are on the call. What drives you, Vern? What made you go for that and make it happen?
Well, first of all, let me apologize for my voice. It's it comes and goes today. I'm having trouble with the weather. What drives me, just like you said, it's my family. I've never been in a situation in the past, and I'm over 21, so I won't tell you my age, but just to let you know that I'm a little older than 21, and in all of my working life, which has been quite a while, I've never been in had an opportunity to make this kind of money, and that was part of the drive. Part of the drive was is that a couple of years ago, my wife couldn't stand the job that she was working, and I just told her to quit, that we'd make it happen, and so she did. And that's part of a drive. And I jokingly say, and I mean this in all joking, is that my wife and I made an agreement when I got into this business that I would make the money and she'd spend it. And so far, I'm doing my best to keep up with her. But having said that, I will tell you this, that this Christmas is going to be a great Christmas.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you. I totally admire you on so many levels just because you stuck it out and you made it happen. I know that it was a difficult year last year watching people walk across the stage getting their income rings, and you should have been up there. And in this year, you're going to be up there. And I got to tell you, everybody that's on this phone, when they introduce Vern Geyer as getting his ring, if you're not standing up and cheering, I'm going to send Jeremy Patton after you or something, man, because that's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch it and see it happen. You know what I mean?
I'm looking forward to it.
What are you doing any of your business in your own backyard?
Zero.
Zero. And zero. What I enjoy about your presentation, and a lot of the people on the phone haven't heard it, but what do you expect when you go run a trip? What do you expect when you hit the road, you say goodbye to your wife, you hug her, give her a kiss, and move on?
Well, my expectation is I'm I don't know how to say it other than the fact that my expectation is that they mail it in. I'm going to go up to help them find something that's going to fit their needs and their budget and walk out of there with a check.
Do you have a number expectation? I mean, do you say to yourself, Jesus, this is the week for 20 grand, 15,000, whatever?
Well, yes. In all actuality, there's an expectation every week, and part of that is based upon that is my goal that I established at the beginning of this year, what I need to do each week in order to achieve that goal. And so the expectation is, and I write down, and I'm one of the ones that provides to Fitz every week what my goals are on the spreadsheet. Now, I haven't been able to meet them in all times, but my goal is that in order for me to meet my goal at the beginning of the year, I had to do at least 10,000 a weekend and from a dollar perspective. And it was just based upon what we sit down with at the beginning of the year. If I may, let me go back just a little bit, Paul, because it kind of falls into place with what you're talking about. Last year, you're right, I was very disappointed in the fact that I wasn't one of the ones walking across stage. I came close, but, you know, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. But I still wasn't the one, and I had to sit down and I had to reevaluate my situation at the end of the year. It was actually the beginning of the year when I realized I wasn't going to walk across stage. So I really had to sit down and evaluate the situation, my own personal situation, and understand exactly, get a little better understanding of why that did not happen. And it come to the realization is that I may have had a goal in my mind, but it wasn't communicated, nor was it written down. And so if you've got a goal there that you are wanting to walk across stage, you better figure out what you need to do and work with your manager, work with your upline, and communicate that with them. And then at that point in time, sit down and write it down so that you can monitor it on a regular basis. And that's the big difference between this year and last year. We got some feedback, Paul.
Kind of annoyed about. Well, I don't know if I'm annoyed about.
Yeah, I think someone's dialed into the host code that wasn't supposed to.
This morning they said, "Oh, we never did fix the transmission leak. We didn't know."
Do a star 5. I'm muted, buddy.
Someone must have pressed star 5 on accident. All right, cool.
There you are. I did it. Okay. So I muted them out. Let's put it that way.
There you go, buddy.
And so what I did then was when Fitz and I first sat down and talked about me coming on staff, his question was what do you want to achieve this year? And I told him I wanted to, you know, I wanted to walk across stage. We all know to be able to do that and get your income ring, you've got to do a minimum of $100,000. So what I did, I told him, I says I need to make at least $100,000. His comment was, "Why don't you set your goal for $150,000? That way, then, if you miss it, you're still, you know, the old saying goes, if you shoot for the moon, if you miss it, you're still among the stars." And So basically, that's what we did. So I sat down then, and I figured out, based on my commission level, if you will, amount, what percentage I make on a commission basis, and what that equated to on a from an annual perspective, and you know, sat down and divided it up by 12, and then come up with my, you know, what my goals are on a weekly basis, because I had to break it down on a weekly basis, and I monitored it every week. I've got a spreadsheet that I can show you right now that for every commission check that came in for the last year, I knew exactly where I was and what far, how much farther I need to be. And after our September leadership conference, I knew where I was, and I knew that I needed to get a little further along, so I actually went back and redid my goals based upon the rest of the year. And I think most of you know, especially the ones here in the office, they knew exactly when I made it because I was doing a little bit of celebrating. So that's the big difference, I guess, is that, and I would, you know, I've always taught write down your goals and make your goals. In the corporate world, we had to do that every year, but I never really believed in it. You know, it's like, okay, it's just kind of giving it lip service, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, folks, if you don't have a goal, you better have it down, you have it written down, and you better communicate it with somebody that can help you get there. Because if you don't write it down, it's just a dream.
Mm. So, Eric Larson and Philip Hudgens both say make your goals public. Make them a public announcement so you can achieve those. But one thing that Philip Hudgens said on a conference call years ago that I have written down here, it's not what happens to you that changes your life. It's how you react to what happens. And, you know, you could have folded, Vern. You could have folded. You could have said, you know what? All these people are walking across the stage. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make my goals. And here you are, dude, getting your income ring.
Yep.
Pretty cool, man.
You bet.
It's not what happens to you that changes your life. It's how you react to what happens. Gorgeous.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Heck, we should probably talk about the convention right now, but we'll move on to
we'll talk about that too.
And changed you, hadn't it?
Oh man, I tell you, in last year's being at the convention, I mean it created different things. I mean, I like the fact of seeing there and watching other people go across stage, but also didn't like the fact that I wasn't one of them, so that kind of gave me the motivation, if you will, as if I didn't already have enough motivation to do it. But that was another thing. I said, look, man, this year is going to be a good year. So 2006 was my year. I said that in January, and I still say it. And all I can say is look out for 2007.
Sweet. Hey, do me a favor. What do you have on your desk?
Well, my
strange
desk?
Strange question, I know, but tell me what you got on your desk.
Besides my coffee cup?
Yeah.
I have my my computer, of course, phone, my stapler.
What's on your screensaver?
Oh, picture of my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
My software. I don't know which direction you're going there, Paul.
No. I think that when you look at winners, you see things differently on their desk. And I know when you go into Bruno's office, he's got his books and, you know, how to be a leader, and he's got pictures of his beautiful, beautiful girl, and you see those things. On my desk, personally, I have a picture of my grandfather. He's my hero in my life. I've got a picture, I got a little thing that my daughter gave me that probably cost 15 cents, but I love it, and you just notice those things. And when I go in and I see your computer, it's always got your picture of your wife, you know, and your kids, and that's what you. That's why you go to work every day. That's why you expect yes.
Yep.
I love it. Mr. Owens, are you with us, buddy?
I'm here. Can you hear me loud and clear?
I can hear you loud and clear. You also were called by the Andy Albright office and asked for your ring size.
That's absolutely correct. Can I tell you, when that office calls and it shows up on your caller ID, you answer that phone.
Amen to that.
Yeah, that and the Fitz group, when those two come up, man, we're jumping on it. Tell me about the day, and get did you know your ring size? Or did you have to go get it?
I actually wanted, you know, I felt a little bloated that day, so I thought I better go get it done just to make sure that I didn't get it too small of a ring. So I did go have it checked out. And it was a great time. I had to stop what I was doing, but I had a smile on my face.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
This is Vern. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I actually got my call on Saturday. Not that it was any sooner than anybody else, but the only reason I remember that because I was in the house with a client when the call came in, and I'm like Mike said, you show you that caller ID, and he's like, excuse me just a second. And how do you explain to a client, look, you know, they're calling me about a ring size. It's a good recruiting tool, I tell you that. But I knew ring size because I'd been wearing my class ring for the last 6 months just to get used to it on that ring on that hand. Sorry, I'll move myself back out.
No. The most important question is, did you close that cell?
Yes, I did, actually.
I'm glad you said that.
I don't remember what I said after that.
you expect it, yes.
Yeah, I expected yes, but it was pretty cool.
Awesome. Wow. Michael, you came on board with us. This is truly your first year in the business, correct?
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your background and what you did before this.
I was in the insurance. I was in the insurance industry. I consider myself a property and casualty specialist. I knew auto and homeowners insurance, could sell it in every state there was. Did a lot in auto and homeowners insurance, and in fact, I actually paid somebody in my agency to sell life insurance for me to meet my quotas. I've been in the insurance business for a while, but I had my license for a while, but I didn't write my first life insurance case until November of last year.
Mm. Dude, so many people come to us from the business, from the insurance business, and don't listen to what NAA has to say. They don't embrace it. They don't take it. They don't believe in it. What did you do to make that change and earn $100,000 this year?
Paul, I mean, in the beginning, you know what I mean? It almost, and I'll be the first one to say it, almost sounded too good to be true. It had that good of a feel to it. But I didn't have anything to lose. I wasn't going anywhere. I was stagnant with the business that I had. And I needed something to really jumpstart me. And I got to tell you, I did what was officially calling selling out to NAA in January. After the convention, I completely shut down my property and casualty agency. And from that period of time, I had an awesome opportunity occur. My wife ended up joining me in the business, and since then we've been all at it. It's all or nothing.
And she's your business partner.
That's correct. For the same reasons that people use as excuses of why they can't do something, we look at those as reasons why we need to.
Wow. And this last week you learned you were having a child, correct?
That's correct. I actually knew I was having a child for a couple of weeks. I kind of kept it a secret. In addition to, I already, just so everybody knows, we do have three children already, so it's not my first.
But you're not only having a child, you're having what?
I'm having twins. I'm not personally, that'd be my wife, but... Yes, we are absolutely having twins. In fact, it went through the situation. Thank you. It went through the, you know, the doctor looks at me and says, you know, hey, or looks at my wife and says, hey, does this baby look cute to you? She says, absolutely. She says, good, because you got another one that looks just like it. So now, for the same reasons why, you know what I mean, I got to go out there, and I think I'm going to have to get a small school bus.
Yes, you will. A lot of the people are on the call today because they want to, you know, how do you expect yes? How do you walk in so confident to these appointments and take care of these customers?
I mean, by the time I walk into the home, they've said yes so many times that why would I think that they're going to say anything different? Mm-hmm. They said yes when they've sent a piece of paper in. They said yes to whoever's called them on the telephone. Why would they stop saying yes? That doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. We in our sales meeting yesterday, we talked about how many times do you walk up to the client, and it happens to all of us, and they say, well, we just wanted some information, thanks for coming out and all that, and you walk out with a check. I mean, how many people say that to you?
I mean, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I mean, everybody, I mean, that's just their initial reaction, you know what I mean? And then once they realize, I mean, it's very simple to me. I mean, when I get that, I didn't do my job enough. I didn't explain to them that I'm there for their benefit, not mine. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that in one of the ways that I've, you know, passed that on to individuals, I say, look, you know, I mean, truth of the matter is, I don't get paid unless you keep this program for some time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't do me a darn bit of good to walk out of here with an application that you're going to turn around and cancel 2 months later. It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
I got to make sure that this is good for you. And I tell them. I mean, I show them. If I'm not showing them enough, then I've got to tell them. I'm not putting it out there enough for them.
Love it. Love it. We'll come back to you here in a second. Mr. Patton, what do you have on your desk? Hang on real quick. I'm sorry. Michael, what do you have on your desk?
I've got some drawings. Well, first of all, actually, I've got some drawings from my youngest son up
uh-huh.
on the wall. And that reminds me of one of the reasons why I do this. Another thing I got there, when I put on there, January of last year, I put the picture of the income rings. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things I looked at daily. And then what I did, you know, is since I went ahead and got my recruiting site, when my little picture popped up there on top of the little scrolling bar, I kept hitting refresh until my picture popped up there and it had the income rings on that page, and then I printed that page. I mean, it was that, you know, it was that important to me to make sure that was my goals, and I mean, it is just what it is. I also got the lead distributions currently on my desk.
Cool. Very cool. Patton, how about you, buddy?
I've got a picture of my family and a picture of my son.
Yeah?
On my desk. Just cool. A reminder of the people that I love and ultimately what this is going to do for them as well.
I have no idea why I'm asking you guys this question. And if anybody on this call thinks I'm asking this, and it was premeditated, I called Vern and called Michael. I didn't. But it hit me today as I'm sitting around looking at my desk and realizing who's on it. You know, we talk about attitude so much. We talk about how your attitude determines what you're going to get in life. Your attitude determines if you're going to get a yes. Your attitude determines if you're sitting in front of a customer and they're telling you, well, yeah, I'm so glad you came out. What we're doing is we're checking everything out. We're checking it by our financial planner and our lawyer and da-da-da-da, and you walk out with a check. Your attitude is different. And I think that it's what you surround yourself with. And it hit me today. I was listening to Barry Clarkson and Andy Albright this morning on MP3. And it talked about all these different things about how you surround yourself and what you expect and is what you get. And I'm looking around going, okay, cool. Rock and roll. I got a picture of the United States on my wall to my right. And that lets me know, like Fitz always says, I'm going to take over the world. And then I got, you know, my grandfather, and I've got my beautiful wife and my children, everything right there. So, it wasn't premeditated. I'm just curious. And, of course, Jeremy and Vern, I see y'all's desk. I know what you have on there. So, Jeremy, you were called this last week, correct?
Yes, I was.
About your ring size?
On Monday, yes.
On Monday. You bolted out of here. That's important. I want to hit that in a second. But more importantly than that, I want to talk about your last weekend. You kind of had a persistence type weekend that you kind of stuck with it. At one point, you called me and said that South Texas was junk. And then turned it around and wrote $8,000. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it all stems from I've had a very challenging year. So I've learned a lot about perseverance and not quitting. But, this past weekend I was just, had a different attitude going into it. I wasn't anxious. I wasn't worried. I just knew it would work out. I knew I was where I needed to be, for a purpose and a reason to take care of these people. And, a lot of people in the sales meeting kind of know my routine. And, I pray a lot. And, I was still a little anxious because it started real slow on Thursday. I only wrote one policy. I think on Friday I wrote maybe another 2,000 or 3,000. So I was sitting at maybe 3,000 or 4,000 at the end of the day on Friday, which is not really good for me, you know. And I just thought, oh, well, I wasn't very, very anxious. Just said, well, tomorrow's the day. And reviewed my goals and saw the appointments I had. And Saturday ended up being the day. I sat on every single appointment and closed every single deal and wrote 11 applications total for the trip for a little over 8,000. Just because I didn't, it would have been easy for me to pack up and go home, you know. But I didn't quit. I just kept going. This quote I got yesterday, really kind of hits real hard about my life over the last year. It's aging wrinkles the body, quitting wrinkles the soul. That's from General MacArthur. But I was like, yeah, I'm not going to give up. Why would I quit, you know? Just keep going, and there's plenty of people to be taken care of. It turned out that last day, by sticking it out, I wrote most of my business. So I love South Texas.
What do you say and do when someone comes to the door and says, hey, you know, I'm glad you came out here. We want to think about this. What do you say? What do you do?
Great. That's all I say. It's great. That's all I'm going to do is show you the different benefits, and that's great.
How about you, Owens?
I say, hey, that's not a problem at all. I mean, the last thing I want to do is start confrontation right off the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I'm gonna go exactly the same way. I'm gonna say, hey, that's exactly what we're gonna do today. We're gonna show you everything that there is. I can't force you to do anything.
How about you, Vern? I know Vern's voice is going out.
I had to get unmuted there. Okay. That's the same. I've been plagiarizing Jeremy's wording. That's great. My objective here today is not to sell you anything anyway. I'm just wanting to show you the what we've got to offer and give you more information about it.
And you walk out with a check?
99% of the time.
99% of the time.
Right.
Wow. What do you set your own appointments, Vern?
No, I don't. I do not.
Now, and how do you have? But you used to at one point.
I'm sorry.
You used to at one point, correct?
Yes, I did. Uh huh.
And what do you tell your appointment scheduler? They ask him medical questions. I mean, what are they doing?
Yes, I have a great appointment setter. She's pretty much in tune with what my expectations are, and part of that is because I've taught her, if you will, what my expectations are. Mm-hmm. But she will ask them if they are experiencing any medical situations, and or are you on any medications for it. And the only reason I do that is because I like to be a little bit more prepared before I walk into the house as to what expectations they are experiencing or what kind of a medical situation they're experiencing. So I'm a little better prepared to either go down this path or go down a different path. And I'll tell them that, too, when I walk in there. You know, I says, you know, I don't know what you're looking for, but it helps. If you tell me, then it helps me determine which path to go down. And that way, then, I'll know that if they're experiencing some medical situations, I'll know which product or which company is going to work the best for them. And one of the reasons I do that is simply because, and I imagine Jeremy and I assume Mike is doing the same thing, is because when I run my appointments, it's only on the weekends. And so I've got, it's a pretty packed weekend, so I know I've got so certain amount of time in the home, and so it helps me, you know, I prepare myself a little better by knowing when I walk in there what their medical situation is. I don't have to change horses in the middle of the stream. But that's just what works for me.
Hmm. What about you, Jeremy? What is your, I know you have an appointment scheduler.
Same thing. I've trained her myself. She's in tune with how I do things. Real similar to Vern. I mean, she asks simple medical questions. The main thing that she focuses on is urgency and tying them down. Probably three or four times before she's off the phone, she really reiterates the importance of how busy I am and that I'm going to be meeting with a lot of people in the area. And she reconfirms the time and the place probably two or three times, from my understanding. And my show ratio is phenomenal. I don't really have no shows. I'll have people sometimes call to reschedule, but I've only had one no-show from her in the last month. So
cool.
She's doing it right, and she's doing it because it's what I've learned from sales meetings, from the conference calls. I've learned from Vern. I've learned from a lot of people. So
we fine-tune that a little bit more. I'm sorry. We fine-tune it a little bit more. In other words, when I first started using her techniques were not the same as they are today. I mean, as time has gone on, you know, I've iterated where I feel like that it's going to help improve things. And she will also do the tying down on the phone, kind of like Jeremy's, the appointment setter, does. And it saves me having to, well, we're only looking for a price, because they may ask that on the phone when she's setting an appointment, and all she tells them is, of course, I can't give you that. But I assure you, Vern, who, you know, he's very knowledgeable on all this, and he's one, he will be able to find you something that fits your needs and your budget. I mean, she says the same thing that we say all the time, and then how does she know that? It's because I basically asked her to say that. So it's worked out pretty good.
Cool. Cool. I'm reading an email right now from someone that's talking about Vern talking about his goals and how they're fired up.
Good.
Yeah.
You need to be. You should be.
Yeah, you're darn right.
You have to be. You have to be fired up about them.
Got to have that burning desire. It doesn't work. I like what Andy always says. You've got to get your self-image up where you expect different things to happen. Of course, again, I would say, you know, you have to get your, but I'm not from North Carolina like Fitz and Andy. But you got to get your self-image up. And Vern's self-image and Michael's self-image and Jeremy's self-image is probably not even $100,000 a year people. You're probably going, I'm kind of embarrassed that you keep saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael, what are your goals for 2007?
My goals for 2007. Yeah, it took me a second to get off mute. My goals for 2007. Yeah, I mean, I've got some personal goals, but talk about income wise. For some reason, okay, the figures north of $250,000 sound good.
North of $250,000 sound good. So you're getting tired of me saying $100,000 income ring?
Yeah, because I mean we're gonna be pretty far north of that $250,000. So that's, you know, I mean, it, for some reason the $200,000, that number sounds nice, but when you say the words $250,000, really my goal might be higher, might be $350,000, but just north of $250,000 sounds cool.
Yeah. Personally, go ahead.
I got to tell you, I mean, that's what NAA does, is NAA stretches your imagination of what is physically possible. I can tell you, you know what I mean, that this the opportunity is stretches your imagination of what you can do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, and in turn, that stretches what's going to happen over the 12-month period of time. That's the best way I can describe it, is we are so far above the norm that it's not normal.
Dude, they definitely stretch the imagination. Patton, what are your goals for 2007?
My goals, I've been taught to set lofty goals, and I believe wholeheartedly, knowing where I've come over the last year, that I will earn definitely north of $250,000. My goal I have in mind is $500,000 this year. Why is it that way? I've kept thinking to myself, well, let me first word it how I have it on my paper. I earned over $500,000 this year in 2007 by December 30th of 2007. Saying it like I've already done it, it just programs your mind. But so many other people have done it, and it only takes that the right ingredients to do it. And as long as you keep plugging in and persevering and surrounding yourself with the right people, that's what's going to happen this year. For myself, for Michael, for Vern. My goal is to be recognized as an agency manager at over $150,000 monthly volume by May 1st. The key I stress there is the agency volume. And that's what's going to happen.
May 1st.
I wrote it down on my paper, and you've seen how I've done that over the last year.
Yeah.
Just writing stuff on paper, and like I've already done it. And putting that deadline, just like Hudgens. It's kind of pretty neat how that happens. Hudgens tells us to do it, we do it, and it happens, right?
Yeah.
So, those are my income goals. I've got plenty more goals, but to go back on that, I remember the 2006 National Convention just about a year ago. I'd say that was a huge catalyst in transforming my business. I remember you, myself, and Michael, we were just sitting up there talking about our goals, and the one thing we had in common were our income rings, and look at us, where are we now, a year from then?
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it. We had it on paper, and here we are. You know, so I could talk all day about the National Convention, but it really has changed my life and changed my attitude. Phenomenal. That's
Dude,
all I can say.
T- tell us a little bit about, you know, because inevitably I know people are on the call right now saying, oh, you're talking about attitude and he's saying the right things and all the right stuff. Well, how did you build your presentation, your sales presentation? When you go into the home, how did you build it? What did you do?
How did I build it? I mean, I started with my attitude. I care about people, ultimately, and it starts with caring about people.
Enough said. Vern, what about you?
How did I build it?
Yeah.
I didn't build it. I took what was already there and modified it to fit my personal attitude and my personal way of doing it.
You care about people?
Oh, the only way you can make this business work is to do that. It took me 90 days. I told this in the meetings before. It took me 90 days to realize that I wasn't there to sell them something. I need to be concerned about what their needs are more than what my needs are.
Owens, what about you?
I took it from, I just listened to everybody. I sat there at the convention like a sponge. I tried to fill myself with the good stuff. Just like Fitz says, when you put under pressure, what's inside of you, when you're squeezed, that's what's going to come out.
You care about people.
I care about all sorts of people. I care about my family. I care about their family. I mean, if you don't, you got to show them how much you care.
Bottom line. And that's why I stopped Jeremy so quickly, because it's bottom line. You got to care about the folks. Jeremy, about how long does your presentation last inside the home?
The presentation part is pretty simple. It's maybe 4 or 5 minutes, if that. But then I ask a lot of questions. I ask my impact questions. How's this going to impact you if Susie's passed away or if Bill's passed away? I get them thinking. And then, so it's hard to say. It's different in every presentation, because it's a seeking to understand type of presentation.
Time out. You ask them how it's going to what?
How is it going to impact you, Paul, if Tamara passes away tomorrow? How's that going to impact your kids, your girls?
Dude, my business is done.
Right. Well, I need to hear you tell me that. So how is that going to impact your girls?
Yeah.
What are you going to need in order to take care of things? Emotionally, physically? You know, I get them thinking that way, because they're not. They're busy. They're not. If I don't ask those questions, they're going to be thinking about money and getting to the grocery store to get dinner cooked for their family. I got to get them thinking the right way, and the only way to do that is to care, number one. But if I don't ask those questions, I don't care. So I got to ask them questions to understand, why is it important to you? Why is this important to you, Paul? You know, why is this important to you, Tamara?
What about you, Michael? What type of questions are you asking in there?
Same thing. I'm going with what we're covering. You know what I mean? I'm going with the exact same questions. I'm going, you know, when I talk to them, I'm asking questions like, you know, when you walk outside that house tomorrow, you know what I mean, when you look at your little son in the eyes, you know what I mean, do you want to know that if, God forbid, something happens to you, that you're taken care of, that your family is taken care of? I mean, what's the price of that? If you knew that you were going to pass away tomorrow, if you knew that you came home from work, that you weren't going to make it home from work tomorrow, how much would this coverage be worth to you? I can tell you the answer, sir. As much as you could possibly give me. Truth of the matter is, I can't tell you that you're going to pass away tomorrow. Truth of the matter is, you can't tell me you're not.
Dang. Many people will say, well, I can't say what Michael just said. I can't say what Michael just projected. And the reason you can't is because what I went back to earlier, you care about these people, correct?
Absolutely.
I mean, you care about making money.
Yeah, that helps. I mean,
that helps. But you care about these people.
I mean, to do good for these people while still doing good for my family. I mean, I've never given somebody that. You know, I mean, heck, I came from a business before where. Well, you know what I mean? It was just a strictly materialistic thing that I was selling.
Vern, you actually delivered a death claim check for someone that had a routine gallbladder surgery. And if that doesn't hit you in the face and say, hey.
I had complications from it.
Yeah. I mean, tell us a little bit about that. I mean, tell us why that's so important right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you never had that experience, I mean, let's hope we never have that experience, but the first time you do, that's when you realize that you're in the right place at the right time. That's when it comes, if you become somebody, someone who is you care, because you're there, you're handing them the check. I mean, you can't overcome the emotion of them passing in the first place, but and Joanne here in the office has made that comment, made it at the leadership meeting when we talk about recruiting. You know, insurance doesn't take away the pain of someone leaving. It just doesn't add to it. And that's exactly what you've done. You just kept him adding to the pain of that person passing, and you hand him that check. I mean, I don't know who had more tears in their eyes, them or me.
Right.
But it was something. And going back to your question, Paul, I mean, when you say you ask questions, as far as I'm concerned, Jeremy, both Jeremy and Michael hit it right on the head, is that you ask questions. You know why you're there. You just don't know why they don't know why you're there. And so you ask them questions. Why am I here? Why? What do you want to accomplish here? What's your concern? And then go from there. The actual talking part, like Jeremy says, is probably about 5 or 10 minutes. But the rest of it is asking them questions, finding out what they're truly looking for, so that you can help them find it. And when you walk out of there, you ask them. The last question I always ask them: are you comfortable with this? And it's you have to care. You've got to care. Because I guarantee you, if you don't care, they'll know it.
You came to this business, Vern. I don't know how to say this. You're a little older than this.
I'm over 21.
but I'm trying to figure this one out.
Let's put it this way: I'm closer to 60 than I am 50. we'll leave it at that. I have grandchildren. I have children older than Fitz. I have children older than you.
No, not me. Okay.
I do.
Oh, really? Okay. The reason I ask is you went to him. He was 28 years old at that point.
Uh-huh.
You're definitely coachable and teachable. Did that play any part into how you've made over $100,000 in 1 year?
Well, probably not in the way you're thinking or maybe anticipating the answer. It had a big part simply because here's a 28-year-old guy that was making $1 million. I figured, I mean, age didn't have a fact on it other than the fact that here's a 28-year-old guy making that kind of money. I need to know why, how.
Yeah.
Because I was a lot older than that, and I wasn't making that kind of money, and I want to know how to do that. And that's basically it. I went to him, and I said, look, Fitz, I need help. I'm not, you know, first of the year, I didn't make my ring. I want to know how I'd get there. And he said, let me show you how to get there. And I just plugged into it and latched onto his coattails, and I guarantee you, if you don't have somebody there, a mentor, if you will, you better find somebody, and find somebody who's doing it, who's successful in the business, because you can only go up with it.
Yeah. And Michael, how are you so coachable and teachable? I mean, you were in this business way before I was.
I've never been with NAA before.
Ah, dude, enough said. Jeremy, what about you?
You told me it worked, and I did what you told me to do. I trust you, and I trusted you, and you said do this. I did, got my license, and got on the plane, and wrote, I think, $8,000, because you told me I could.
We flew to Chicago. I'm not saying this right now to say, hey, look, you know, look what I told him to do. I'm saying this because I believed in Fitz. I believed in NAA. I believed in the system, and it just being opening your heart completely and saying, you know what? What I've done year after year isn't working. What I've done isn't doing what I need it to do. So I need to listen to what, you know, Barry Clarkson and Philip Hudgens and Andy Albright and Fitz are saying to me, and just and open up. And you hear that with Vern. I mean, Vern just told us that he's not 21 years old. But yet he, you know, listened to a man who was 28 years old and had complete respect for what he had done and what he had accomplished. And, golly, that attitude.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was about to say the same thing. It's that simple. It's attitude.
Attitude, attitude, attitude.
Attitude and trusting those people that are ahead of you that are doing it. Follow the leader.
Follow the leader.
Are you going to listen to the critics? to get what you want, or you know, listen to the people that are doing it. Like Fitz was talking about yesterday, we got to protect ourselves from the negative. Must protect ourselves from the negative. And the only way to do that is to surround ourselves with those who are positive, to beat ourselves with positive, and to follow the leader. Because you know better than I, because you've been there. It's that simple.
And here's another thing, and it goes back to what Jeremy was mentioning earlier about persistency. I mean, guys, we all have bad weekends. I know. Jeremy just mentioned about the weekend he had. I'm sure he's had more than that. I definitely have had more than that. And the thing is that you don't give up. You don't give up just because you had one weekend and you call up to your manager and boo-hoo, whine, and say, this isn't for me or it isn't working because I had three no-shows or I had two want to think about it. Doesn't work that way, guys. Look down the road. You just got to keep going. I've had many a weekends where Friday, where I'd go in on Thursday, and Thursday night might have been pretty good. And then Friday, everybody, it was almost like they knew I was coming. They had the door closed or whatever. But did I give up and fly back home and say it isn't working? Nope. I knew that Saturday was going to be another day. It's going to be a better day. And that was the attitude I had. It's going to be a better day.
And Vern, it probably helped that you had other good people around you that you could call to pick you up and,
oh, yeah,
and share your concerns with. And you probably leaned on those other people that you knew could help you.
Jason and I, Bruno, we call each other almost every weekend now and say, well, how's it going, you know, and he's always pumping me up and I'm always pumping him up. And now guys, we're New Age mentors, so, you know, most people think, well, you guys are always pumped up anyway. No, we have our bad days too. But the difference is that we know that there's going to be a better day, it is better, and don't just rely upon today. Look down the road and say, and base everything upon a week basis or a monthly basis or whatever it is. Guys, this is the best thing I've known since sliced bread. I mean, I can't explain it any other way. I mean, it's made a big difference in my life. It's my family's life. You can call my wife right now and ask her. Do you notice the difference in Vern, just in his attitude, and from a year ago? And she'll definitely agree with
me. Cool. And when the three of you get announced going over stage, everybody better be standing up cheering like crazy. Vern, do you have anything you want to add to your presentation, phone script, anything you want to give to these people?
No, asking questions is important. And in other words, let them do the talking. I mean, let them tell you why they mailed it in and sent it to you. Don't assume anything at that point in time. Just you may have to prompt them, but at least, you know, ask them the right questions so that they tell you what they need to know. Build that emotion into it. I assure you that's the biggest thing. And just as a key thing, as a guy, as a man, you know, if that lead sheet has that man's signature on it, I assure you, there's a reason he did it. It wasn't just because his wife told him to. You need to find out, because I guarantee you, if the man is doing it, it's a done deal. You just got
Jeremy. Cool. That's good stuff. Patton?
It's exactly what Vern said. I mean, you know, Philip says it best. God gave us 2 ears and one mouth for a reason.
For a reason.
You know, we need to listen more than we talk. And ask questions because you care. It starts with your attitude. Prepare yourself before you go into the home. Why are you there? What's your purpose? My purpose is to protect this family, because I know if I don't, they're going to be without protection. What are the impacts of that? Have the right attitude. That's my advice.
Owens?
They've said it all. There's nothing I can add to that. I mean, as much as people don't want to hear it again, they hear us consistently say attitude. If we're saying it that many times, guess what? It's probably that important.
He doesn't want to talk anymore because we got 2 ears and one mouth. It's been hard to run this call today because I'm talking to 3 people that are all going to make over $100,000 in 1 year. And I think Barry Clarkson says it best. The world is full of good companies, and the world is full of great products. Products don't win for you, and companies do not win for you. The world is not full of self-disciplined people with great attitudes. And I hope that anything you got out of today's call from these 3 folks is that they have incredible, exceptional attitudes. and I don't even know if exceptional is a word. I'm a psychology major. But if you have the opportunity to meet these three people at the convention in Dallas, Texas, January 18th and 19th, go hang out with them. Go be with them. I mean, the three of them are all in the top 10 of the FITS group. And you will understand why they can write so much business. Their attitudes are phenomenal, and they live by that. So I encourage you to do the same thing. I encourage you to make 2007 a different year for you. If it's not been the year you want it to be in 2006, go out and make it happen. I know, and I got to mention Cameron Wilson. I can't say Kimball correctly. So Cameron Wilson will become an agency, I believe, in the next couple of weeks. And again, I ask that everybody at the national convention that goes there, when Fitz has the opportunity to stand up on stage and announce Cameron as an agency, I know I'm going to be on top of my chair clapping, and I encourage all of you to do the same. So go get yours, because I'm getting mine. Anybody, what? Hello?
Paul?
Yes.
Can I add one thing about the convention?
Absolutely.
You were there 2 years ago when we were all down in Atlanta and had an ice storm everywhere.
Uh-huh.
All right. I remember sitting down with a young couple, a couple, that she had just gotten signed up, and he hadn't yet joined NAA yet.
Uh-huh.
And they were sitting here, and we were talking about it, and they were asking, you know, because I'd been in the business about a year, they hadn't, and they were just, you know, wondering, will this work? And really concerned, and really had some, you know, some reservations, if you will, was they made the right decision. And so they went to the convention, of course, because we were talking. Well, let's just put it this way. Their name is Robert and Michelle Wallace.
Absolutely.
So the rest of the story, we know.
And I'm pretty sure they made over $1 million this year.
I'm pretty sure they did.
I've kind of heard that rumor floating around from time to time, but I think that that's going to be an announcement that's made because they went to the convention. And you're right. You and I were both sitting there. And actually, Robert bought us a bucket of beer. You remember that?
Yeah, I did my best to help him drink it. That's exactly right. And you were sitting there. I remember those days. It's like, and now look at them now. I mean, did they make the right decision? Yes. They went to the convention not knowing for sure whether or not this was right for them, but then they came out of that. And I think anybody that's been in the business for at least 6 or 8 months have heard Robert's story about walking across stage and remembering Casey Watkins talking about him going back and getting his degree, his GED. And so, anyway, the point is that if you're wondering, if this is truly the right thing, go to a convention. I guarantee you, it will definitely change your life.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? $350, $400 now? I don't know.
Well, $330 if you're new agent. Since
$330
if you've been signed up since our leadership convention, still $330, and that's a bargain, guys.
I can spend that on dinner with my family.
You guys take
care. Michael, Jeremy, Vern, congratulations for earning your income rings. And I know all of us are going to be pumped up and yelling and screaming when you guys walk across stage. And thanks for being on today's call. And like I always say, go get yours because I'm getting mine because NAA, man, don't pass it up. You guys take care.